And the pitch from Tyson Miller. Swung on, hit in the air, deep left center. Back goes Tauchman. Tauchman near the fence. And that ball is gone for a home run. And the Brewers take a 6-4 lead. The ball game is over, and Milwaukee wins it 6-4. Another very tough loss for the Cubs.
A late tough loss for the Cubs. They lose by two, as heard right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody. Yeah, man, it was dramatic. It looked like the Cubs, they had the momentum, it felt like, when Morel hit the game-tying home run in the top of the eighth to make it 4-4, but then you just heard the Sanchez, what turned out to be the game-winning two-run blast off of Tyson Miller. You had Seiya Suzuki hitting a game-tying homer at one point in time late in this game in the seventh. Bellinger had a homer, so all sorts of things went down in this game today, and it is time now to bring in our baseball insider. He is Bruce Levine. He is one of ours here at 670 The Score, also writes for 670thescore.com, and just like all of our guests, he joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Brewster, what's going on, man?
Good news for the Cubs.
Oh.
Really good news.
Do tell.
Morel, Bellinger, Suzuki, the guys that are supposed to hit home runs today.
Yeah.
Very good news. We can start with good news.
I like it. No, I'm down with that, Bruce.
We don't have to go down the losing hole of, you know, disgust. But I will say that that is showing something that has to be done, because they're coming off of a horrendous month offensively, and the losing has been all over the place. There's been a lot of good pitching along the way that's been wasted. 4-12 in the last 16, you know, a horrible record in the month of May. May may go away. June is on the way. So I would say there are good signs, because the pitching is just not going to carry the team the entire season. You have to score some runs. You have to play defense. You have to run the bases. And guess what? That's what the Milwaukee Brewers did in this four-game series.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I was talking about this at the beginning, Bruce. I remember you and I hosting Inside the Clubhouse. It feels like so long ago, but it was on Saturday. We had Ken Rosenthal on, and we kind of all wondered, is this Milwaukee team for real? After seeing the way they played baseball, and I watched most of all of these games, they seem legit to me, man. Like, they may fall off, who knows, but I'm convinced that this team is for real. Did you conclude that as well, Bruce, or are you still kind of skeptical?
And I have to say excuse me to the people of Milwaukee, because I didn't think losing the pitching that they lost, that they could be as good as they have been, okay? Two of the best pitchers in baseball, one by injury, one by trade.
Yeah.
Okay. You also lost one of the best closers in the game in Williams to injury, and you lost your manager. Well, I guess that manager probably did too good of a job while he was up in Milwaukee, because he trained these guys to be really good. And also kudos to Pat Murphy, the present manager, who was the bench coach for Craig Counsell over there. So again, my faux pas on them and the Kansas City Royals. I had no idea that they would be holding up this long in the season, going on 60 games. And so far, so good for both.
Yeah, man. Willy Adames, good God. Can we make him a legitimate Cubs killer? Is he now up there in the Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado? And if you want to go to the past, to the Mike Schmidt, because every single one of these games, Willy Adames had a key hit, and a lot of them were just big home runs.
Yeah, key hits and a lot of good defensive plays. And they don't make mistakes. Again, the Cubs used to be a very good defensive team last year. They have still good players who should be good defensive players. They have not really lived up to what was expected of them defensively so far through the season. And again, it's some of the subtle things too. It's some of the things where plays that aren't made that should be made. Situations, you know, I hate to pick on Miguel Amaya, but, you know, pass balls and going for a pitch that went in the dirt backhanded that got away. So these are some of the things that stand out, unfortunately, when you're playing close games all the time, like the Cubs have been as of late. And again, Amaya has done a really good job of handling the pitchers this year, as Yan Gomes, but the hitting part of the game just hasn't been there for the catchers. They've got no production whatsoever from the catching spot. Swanson has been a mystery as to where his bat disappeared to. We know he came back from an injury and had to get himself together again, but there's two or three spots that are really hurting the Cubs offensively right now.
Yeah, and you're right. You mentioned those pass balls, and you were pretty kind about it, but those were absolutely tyrannically bad and really and I don't even know if one of them might have been gone down with lighter pitching. It might have gone down as a wild pitch, but it was a play that major league catchers absolutely have to make. Bruce,
they do stand out when the other things aren't happening.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and Amaya, you go from locker to locker and pitcher to pitcher, they will tell you Amaya and that Gomes are outstanding, and that part of their success is indeed the way they handle them, call games, coddle them, kick them when they need to. So these are very good catchers. There's just parts of their game right now that are just not functioning for the Cubs.
They're struggling, and let's revisit the Kyle Hendricks. We talked about him on Saturday as well. He, on Wednesday, I guess it had been yesterday, 3 2/3, allowed 3 runs. I thought it was going to be a good one for him because when he first came in, he induces that double play right away. But then he was again victimized by that guy, Willy Adames, with a 2-run homer. Now what do you do with Kyle Hendricks? I mean, do you keep putting him in the bullpen, or is there another decision coming on Kyle Hendricks?
I wish that was the only problem that Council has with the bullpen right now. Okay. If Kyle Hendricks was his only concern right now, I think that would be okay. But, you know, there are other concerns, and that is that too much was expected and the bullpen pitched too well at times to be able to keep up with that for 162 games. It doesn't happen, okay? So guys like Leiter, who were lights out for almost most of 50 games, he's had two or three that haven't been so good. You know, again, these guys aren't going to be perfect. I'm not here to make excuses for them and just to tell you that a functioning 26-man roster picks each other up. The offense has to pick up the pitching. The pitching certainly picked up the offense for most of the last month. So now when the pitching isn't quite as good, and again, when you say they're not quite as good, you see Steele and you see Brown back-to-back nights give up no runs in 7 innings. Pretty good. So yeah. there's a lot of good things going on here. There's some things that are just not working that might need, again, Pete Crow Armstrong infusion coming up today, more speed, more defense, a different way of scoring runs. They might dip down there again for another AAA player if they need him. They might be hitting the trade market. You know, I know that they're out there talking to other teams. That's their job, and trades aren't always made at the end of May or early June. But I think if the Cubs look at it realistically, I think they're one bat short, whether it's Canario from the minor leagues or somebody else in the system, or it's a trade. I think they have to really look into it right now, because there's a middle of the order bat that's just not there right now.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you know, none of those names that you just mentioned, like none of them feel like the answer. You could throw Brennan Davis into that as well. Like maybe, you know, we're all just kind of throwing those names out there. Like maybe they could help. I think what you alluded to at the very beginning, Bruce, like with Cody Bellinger homering today, Seiya Suzuki homering today, Christopher Morel homering today, one of those three guys has got to get scalding. Like somebody's got to carry this Cubs team for a while. Which one of those three guys that homered today, Suzuki, Bellinger, or Morel, do you think is capable, or do you feel like might be ready to go off as far as like really producing runs?
Well, it's got to be all three. I mean, that's the middle of the order. You can't count on just one guy. That's the team that that Jed Hoyer put together, okay? Those are the three guys that are supposed to be driving in runs, okay? That was, this lineup was predicated on waiting for Bellinger, signing him late to the three-year deal. Suzuki coming off of two of the best months of the season of any player last year in August and September. And Morel continuing to improve. He has, the batting average is not an indication of it. His at-bats are an indication that he's improved dramatically. His walks are up. His strikeouts are down. His hard hit contact is there, but he is not hit in good luck so far this month. It's starting to come around. I think he's got a chance to be the most dominant hitter in that lineup. Again, hitting a home run to right field, hitting one to center field, that's where great hitters become, okay? Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about a hitter with the bat speed and the ability that he has with the bat, when he learns to wait that extra tick, and you hear Ron Coomer talking about it a lot on the broadcast with him and Pat and Ron and Zach, that it's not a question of bat speed. It's a question of waiting that extra tick and believing in your ability to hit the ball hard and out in right field and in center field. It happened for some great hitters before. Sammy Sosa was one Cub who had to learn how to believe that he could hit a ball for a double to right field or a home run out of the ballpark. Again, I don't know if he'll be Sammy Sosa, but Morel has a chance to be a 30 to 40 home run hitter every year in the big leagues.
Yeah, I mean, every time he's at the plate, like, just there's a menacing look about him, and every one of his home runs are just wipeout home runs. So I like the idea of him getting hot. The guy, I think, is, like, if I had to answer that question, like, I think it's going to be Cody Bellinger that's going to go off, because it reminded me a little bit of last year when he came off the injured list, and he was struggling a little bit. Then all of a sudden he started hitting singles and doubles. He's hitting the ball hard. Then he started to hit the ball over the wall, and I'm seeing something similar right now. Bellinger has been hot. I mean, his average has been going up. He's been, you know, 12 for his last 22 or something like that. And then he hits the home run today. I think that Bellinger could be the guy, because we love his approach at the plate, and he learned kind of that B-hack last year, but he's also a guy that you want to get his 25 to 30 home runs.
Yeah, and surprisingly, you know, he's hitting left-handers better than he has right-handers so far this year, hitting in the 320s against lefties. So it's all good news. And you know, the adjustments that he made last year gave the Cubs the idea that even when he's going to struggle a little bit here and there, he has found a way to hit the ball the other way, to get on base, two-strike approach, choking up. You know, these are all things that are an outstanding hitter, and that's why they wanted to bring him back, and that's why he's making $30 million a year. So he should be one of those guys. Suzuki is certainly proving that he has the ability to be a 3, 4, or 5 hitter in a good lineup, and Morel is there. Again, there is injuries guys are coming back from. There is player development when you talk about Morel, when you talk about Pete Crow Armstrong, when you talk about Bush. There are some growing pains there. Hopefully these guys are going to continue to get better, and there's a better month ahead for the Cubs in June.
Unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be – there's a delay, I guess I will just say, in Cade Horton's development and, you know, what I think is an inevitable promotion. He came out of the game last night. Is a back injury, Bruce? Is that what's going on with Cade Horton, the Cubs, one of the Cubs' top pitching prospects, if not the top pitching prospect in the organization?
Right, there was some tweak. We're not quite sure exactly the extent of how long he's going to be out. But again, that will stop his progress of getting to the major leagues, which was predicted at one point by the All-Star break. Most people in the organization felt that, you know, he dominated at Double-A. He did. They sent him to Triple-A. He's been up and down a little bit as far as results go. But it's a big arm with big possibilities going forward. So you hope that this back thing is alleviated soon and he can continue his progress toward Clark and Addison.
Talking to Bruce Levine, baseball insider for 670 The Score, also the longtime host of Inside the Clubhouse here on The Score, which he hosts with David Haw. You mentioned Ben Brown earlier and his excellent start on Tuesday. The Cubs only win in the series 6-3 in 10 innings. Even the wins are hard. Ben Brown, 7 no-hit innings, 10 strikeouts. And, you know, there's been a debate. Like, do you make this guy a starter or is he a bullpenner? Where do you stand on that going forward right now for Ben Brown?
It's good either way, isn't it? It's a nice problem to have. It really is. I think he has to stay in the rotation at this point.
Same.
They have some Jordan Wicks coming back from injury. He's going to go out for one more rehab start. After that, they're going to have to make a decision, you know, what that rotation looks like. do you want Wicks, the left-hander, in there, who's a good pitcher? Do you want Brown in there? It's also something that Counsell and Hoyer have to get their heads together on and say, well, you know, Brown is great in the rotation, but he's also a terrific guy to have in the bullpen to throw 3 innings a couple times a week. Can we afford not to have him there? Is Wesneski enough to have as a long man? Will Hendricks continue to be a long man in the bullpen, or will he run into that second or third inning problem like he has, you know, all year? Where he gets people out early and then can't after a while. So there are a lot of question marks, and there are some really good choices to be made, but I wouldn't say they're easy choices, Mark.
Did Shota Imanaga get too much rest? Is that why he gave up 7 runs, 8 hits, and a couple home runs on Wednesday?
You know what?
We live in the
world of second guessing, don't we?
No, Bruce, I think it's ridiculous that people are saying that he got too much rest.
It's like... Yeah. Oh, he's going to be great every single start.
Yeah, it's silly.
Okay.
It really is.
And if they brought him back, they'd say, oh, you know what? They didn't rest him enough. Okay?
Yeah, well, exactly. Like in September, if he started to fade, people are like, wow, they should have skipped him a few times in the rotation. I think it's ludicrous.
How about giving some credit to the other team, all right? Is there another major league team out there that's trying to beat you?
Yeah.
Or is it a video game where you're just handling things on your end and it's all about your team? Look. He was going to have some bad ones. He will continue to have some down the road. I believe that he will continue to get big league hitters out. He will have, you know, blips here and there. But again, I don't think it had anything to do with the extra time off. That's been a plan that they've had all along for him coming from Japan, pitching once a week, playing only 140 games, only getting 27 starts. Okay. It's been a part of the plan. Was it too many days? You know, was he rusty? No, I don't think so. I just think that at a certain point, you know, every pitcher, the greatest pitchers in the world go out there. Bob Gibson at their peak, Verlander at their peak, guys like Scherzer at their peak. And they're going to have 10 bad games where they're going to have to figure it out. And the offense is going to have to score enough runs for them to win a game. They might have 15 great games, 5 really good games, and the rest they're going to have to figure it out. That's what a great pitcher is in Major League Baseball. So nobody has 32 great starts. So I guess it's good talk in the morning on the radio and
no.
It's good fodder online.
You're going after Molly Haw?
No, of course not.
Oh.
Don't do that score thing to me, Mark.
No, I actually agree with you. I listen to Molly
Haw.
Don't
do that. Don't do that. Don't do that pimping thing to me. Okay? I did not say Molly Haw. I said on the radio it's
in the
great
morning.
Fodder.
In the morning. You
I
said
didn't say in the
morning.
I did not
play the tape, Tree. I'll
you
say
wanna,
it.
You want to bet?
Oh, yeah, I do want to bet.
How much you got?
Let's see. What do I got here in my pocket?
How about your
here?
Condo? In the morning was in your head.
I'm projecting on you. Well, I'll say it then. I thought it was crazy that I think everybody on the show said that he got too much rest. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you got to be bleeping me, Bruce.
How would we know? How would we know?
Yeah.
Did he come out and say he had too much rest?
I don't know. You tell me. I mean,
no,
I,
he
I,
said, yeah. You know, I'm sorry I didn't pitch better.
Uh-oh.
And stay out there for my manager.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Hey, Robbie, you want to get that call on line two, please, really quickly? I believe we have a representative, Bruce, from the morning show that you referred to. We'll get a ruling. Why don't we get a ruling from David Haw?
That I did not.
One half of the Mully and Haw show. Hey, Haw, what's going on, man?
Can't listen to you guys disparage the morning show. I have to defend my honor while I'm out running errands.
Okay.
Just got a haircut, Grody, and Bruce is after me. It's not even Saturday morning. And
I did say the morning show.
Did he not say the morning show, Haw? You are the ruler. It's your ruling, like those commercials.
Robbie, my friend.
Robbie's over there working on it.
Let's pull it this way.
Okay, go ahead.
I know Grody well enough, and now I've worked with Bruce long enough. I know what Bruce meant without him having to say the morning show, and that's okay. You're both wrong.
There's so much sports radio that I was referring to, and it's all over the place that he had rust and that he was rusted too long. Okay, that's a fact, David. You know, I listen to your show religiously, but I do listen to other talk shows on our station and others. And honestly, it was pretty good radio stuff today. It really was.
It was great fodder, and I'm looking forward to you listening and talking tomorrow at 9 o'clock when you're our guest. And we can discuss this further. I don't want to take up your guys' time, but I do think that the other side of it was represented, because I just did wonder if 10 days was a bit too long for a guy who had been in a rhythm. And you wonder if that rhythm contributed to his command, and he lacked that command against the Brewers, and he lacked it immediately. So three batters in, he was down 2-0, and that was worthy of second guessing.
Will you agree with me on one thing?
Yep.
Well, he's not going to have 32 great starts.
I do agree with you, Bruce. Okay. I do think that. And I said that last night was likely the exception and not the rule, and I hope he doesn't have a Marcus Stroman-like start and then fade, and I hope that he is the guy that regroups and regains the mastery. Look, that's a fair comment, guys.
I know, but it hurts, man. It hurts. I know. You had to go there.
Meanwhile, Stroman's dealing in New York.
He is, he's doing well for himself, and I think that's good for him. I would remind Yankees fans that it is not even June yet, and a year ago in Chicago, we were just as excited.
Hey, David,
I can't wait to come on with you guys in the morning. I'm going to be ready to go. We're gonna go and have a good time and talk about where the Cubs at, where the offense is at, if the pitching is going to be able to hold up. There's a lot to talk about.
You always make our show better, Bruce. And Grody, you're the best. Take care, guys.
See you later, Haw. Oh, man.
All right, Rob, did Robbie cut it yet?
I think he did. Robbie, do you have it? Do you have that, Robbie?
Real quick.
Okay, stand by. We'll figure it out. I kind of resent the comment that you made to me now, Bruce, that you think I'm pimping you out. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, you said Mully and Haw.
Well, I think that's what you said.
I did not say Mully and Haw. I did not say the morning show.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Robbie has the audio.
We've got the tape. I want to hear if you said the morning show or not. Robbie, play it.
Nobody has 32 great starts. So, I guess it's good talk in the morning on the radio. Fodder online.
You're going after Mully and Haw?
In the morning. Okay, is not our show. Okay,
what, Bruce?
In the morning is not. It's not Mully and Haw. There was good fodder all over the place yesterday, today, this morning. Okay, so did I say Mully and Haw?
Is that it, Robbie?
Yeah, that was
it. Okay, no, that's fair. I just wanted to know where the end was, because it gets confusing if people here are okay. We are live. Again, Bruce, defend yourself. Either I am right and you're wrong.
I don't have to defend myself.
Or you're listening to other shows. That's a problem.
I do not have to defend myself. In the morning doesn't mean Mully and Haw.
Okay. All right. Well,
does it?
Well, I mean that might be worse. That means that you might be cheating on Mully and Haw. I mean,
I listen to everything on the radio.
Okay. I guess that you have to, right? As a beat reporter.
I listen to Home Plate, which is on XM.
Oh, okay.
I listen to Up the Dial, Down the Dial, and to our shows.
Okay.
So if that's cheating or doing my work, you'll have to tell me.
Okay. Okay. All right.
One opinion is not all I'm interested in.
All right. Hey, while we're like having people jump on, Bruce, I don't know if you got a second here, but I've had somebody waiting on hold for a while that wanted to talk about the Cubs. You mind taking a call with me? Would you do the honor of taking
a
call?
Yeah, if you don't ambush me again.
We'll see. Maybe Ginny. Ginny in Milwaukee. Maybe she'll pimp you out.
Okay.
Ginny, what's going on,
Let's
Ginny?
Let's see what we got with Ginny.
Ginny, what do we got? What do we got?
Oh, my gosh. I thought you guys were razzing me, keeping me on hold for as long as you did, because I'm a Brewer fan. I thought you were sticking it to me.
No, we just had a guest. Like, sometimes we...
I know.
God bless you, Ginny, for hanging on.
I know you got smarter baseball people, but yeah, I follow a lot of baseball here. And I guess if I could just get a second or two to say, guys, and especially the fans, and we have a great rivalry. Lots of people down here in Milwaukee grew up with you guys as the team because we didn't have one. And then when we did, we liked you guys because you were National League. But now, you know, things are different and we're still kind of the little sibling that gets kicked around by you guys. But, you know, it's May, right? It's the end of May. I do predict that you guys will take the division
really?
This year.
You're a Brewers fan, Ginny? You're a legit Brewers fan.
Legit. I was born in 1970 when, you know, the Brewers were established and nobody's taken us serious. But I think Brewers have a lot of momentum because, you know, they've got the proverbial chip on their shoulder. But you guys have a lot of talent, and 5.5 games back in May is nothing. This can turn around easily. Remember, you guys won the series down there in Wrigley.
Yeah,
right?
Two out of three, yeah.
Right. So, you know, coming up here where Council, you know, give them a break. I hate to say that. I'm holding my nose while I say that, but give them a break. Give them a chance. I do think, you know, better things are coming your way.
Oh, wow.
But
Ginny, can I ask you a question about Council?
Yeah.
Okay. So why are Brewers fans upset when the Brewers offered him $5 million a year and he got $8 million? What American wouldn't take the $8 million a year?
Man, you got me on that one. I think from here, you know, I think on this side of the dial, you guys are right next to our flagship. So I listen to your 670 a lot in the morning. But I think it sounds like Arnold did not have a chance to counter the offer and that upset the fan base.
All I know, there was a $5 million a year offer from the Brewers, and he got $8 million a year. So congratulations to him. I know you hated losing him. I know you think that he's a traitor for leaving, but it's the American way, you know. He gave you guys seven great years. He was a fantastic manager, and he's not moving out of Wisconsin anytime soon. He's a proud Wisconsin native.
That's right.
You know, he loves Whitefish Bay, and he's never leaving.
Yeah. You know, the fan base, somebody on the fan base tagged the Craig Council Park, right? When he went over by you.
Yeah, like right away, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
Very hurtful.
No,
look, I understand how people reacted, but he's as proud of his time with Milwaukee and as proud a Wisconsin person that there is. I understand the rest of it. I really do.
Ginny, you get the last word since you had to wait on hold so long and you thought that we had evil intentions. So, Ginny, like, what else? What are the Bears going to do? Are you a Packers fan as well, Ginny?
Oh, no, don't hate me. Yes.
Okay, so how do you think the Bears are going to do?
Well, they have a TV show now, right?
Yeah, the Hard Knocks. Yes, they do, Jen.
Well, that helps.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does help. Yeah, sure.
So much of sports is up in the air. Like, I really do believe with this Brewers-Cubs in Milwaukee here, we have the chip on our shoulder because, you know, we had Murphy as Council's bench coach, who, you know, was also his coach at Notre Dame. So,
yep.
you know, and we don't have the star power that you guys have, except for, you know, the veterans that we have. But we're bringing up a lot of young guys, and it's
you,
you know,
guys play real good baseball, okay? You catch the ball, you run the bases, okay? And you pitch better than I thought, so congratulations on the first 60 games. Let's see how it works out.
Yeah. Ginny, thank
you. Like Craig said, just enjoy baseball. Guys.
Just enjoy baseball. Amen, Ginny. And I'm glad that you enjoy baseball as much as Bruce Levine does and as I do as well. Brewster, this has been epic as always, man. 9 o'clock tomorrow on Mully and Haw. You guys are going to be going at it at 9 tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for doing the LaRoche thing to me. Okay? Setting me up. I really appreciate it.
Hey, enjoy shot or no shot tomorrow.
Yeah, don't call me next time.
See you, Bruce.
See you, buddy.
Later on, man. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Bruce and I had Adam Eaton on once upon a time ago, and I sabotaged inside the clubhouse. I was suspended from the show for months and months and months, but we've made a comeback.
Do we need to re-listen to that, though.
Okay, let's do that. We will reset that. You want to do that app? Because we are off the track. We're going to talk to John Greenberg at 8 o'clock. And you know, if you got a Cubs call, too, because we did ask the question if you think that this is – if the Cubs are fixable or if this is a chronic issue. It's 312-644-6767. But, yeah, now that we have referenced it, we should probably explain a little bit more of the story if we have a little bit more of the – do we have a little bit more of the audio from that? This time? Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll be here in a few minutes on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Don't do that pimping thing. Nobody has 32 great starts. So, I guess it's good talk in the morning on the radio. And it's good fodder online.
You going after Mully and Haw? I think he is. Just a little bit. Yeah, he did.
Don't we have other shows here on The Score? Midday, yeah. Afternoon.
Yeah, maybe he was talking about Bernstein and Holmes. They get a chunk of the morning as well. So, or other stations. He listens to everything. Yes, he does. That was fun, though, man. Bruce is great. Ginny was superb as well. I still can't figure that out, though. I mean, Ginny called in, diehard Brewers fan, and sounds like a pure Milwaukeean. And she said the Cubs are going to win the division. You guys will be fine. Don't worry. I don't know. Like, that's a really nice
person. Sportsmanship. What a sportsman.
Yeah. Like, she really felt our pain, apparently. So, But yeah, Bruce Levine will be on the Mully and Haw show tomorrow. And yeah, a lot of accusations coming from Bruce. Me sounding like I'm pimping him out. I mean, pimping ain't easy, but it's what it is. It's what it is, Bruce. Oh, to pay off what Bruce was talking about, the little hit and run he gave us. That's another baseball show. As he left the air and saying that I sabotaged inside the clubhouse. I kind of did, actually. Back in, it was either 15 or 16. I did Cubs pre and post for 3 years, 15, 16, and 17. I think it was 15, and it was in Mesa. Bruce Levine and I were co-host. Since I was doing pre and post, we were both in Arizona. We're out there in, like I said, in Mesa at the ballpark, and we were co-hosting inside the clubhouse. I was Bruce's lackey for that day. So we were up in the press box, and it's like, you know, it's 2 hours earlier in Arizona. The show is at 9. So we're in there at like 6 in the morning. Neither of us is in any kind of mood at that time because we'd probably both been out the night. But as a matter of fact, maybe Bruce and I dined together the night before. I don't remember. But we're both up in there, and, you know, it's just, it's like an hour before we go on, and we're getting the show ready, all of that. And we've got a good show lined up. We've got Adam Eaton coming on. We probably had some Cubs representation as well. And Adam Eaton comes on. And I don't even honestly, and one of these days we'll have to find the audio. It's somewhere, but maybe it's been buried. You know, some of the controversial Score audio has been buried. But we had Adam Eaton on, and I challenged him on something. I don't even remember what it was. I followed up. I wish I could think in my brain what else was going on at that time. But he took exception to me, did Adam Eaton. So that's one part of it. Separate from that as well, that was the day that Adam Eaton
White Sox outfielder, revealed to us that Adam LaRoche, who was a player for the White Sox, his son, Drake of the LaRoches, was considered by many of the players in the clubhouse to be a leader.
Now, he lost Drake, the leader in Drake.
Yeah. Yes, when Adam LaRoche left, out goes the leader, Drake LaRoche, who was like 8 or something, not even. Maybe he was 6 or 7, and Adam Eaton sincerely said that we lost a leader in the clubhouse. Now, Bruce and I did not press the issue on that. I look back on it, we probably should have, but, you know, Bruce runs a straight-laced show, and I had already, you know, and as far as Adam Eaton was concerned, I'd already done him dirty. So we just let that float, and it became a huge story, obviously, here on The Score. I'm sure it was aggregated elsewhere. I don't even remember. But what happened after that was Adam Eaton hangs up the phone, and he said, I'm never going on The Score again because of me. And I don't know if it's because I have Cubs stink on me, as far as he was concerned. I think the White Sox might have been pissed at that time. And, you know, Bruce, so that's why Bruce said that, you know, I hijacked inside the clubhouse. And it was a while before I was asked to co-host again. So
I clean shoes most of the time.
What was that?
That was Drake LaRoche.
I clean shoes most of the time.
Okay. I mean, that's leadership. That's leadership. I mean, Drake LaRoche is all grown up now. I mean, he's probably in his 20s. I don't know if anybody has actually talked to him yet. I don't know that it's a tee-hee-ta-ha story to them still at this point. But I was an interrupter for the White Sox, for Adam Eaton, for everybody for that day. I was just hated, and yeah, I was like, what have I done? What have I done to inside the clubhouse? So yeah, so that's that story. There was a moment to bring it back to today. There was a moment I know everybody's on Craig Counsell right now, but Craig Counsell today, even though the Cubs lost, he went head to head with his old friend and now Brewers manager Pat Murphy in the 7th inning. The Cubs 7th, Cubs batting in the 7th inning. It's 3-1 Baltimore. Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, goes to his bullpen with a man on and one out. So, Craig Counsell decides to go to his bench. He's like, oh, you're going to do that. You're going to bring that guy in. It was Brian Hudson came into the game for the Crew. And like I said, Counsell's like, all right, you're doing that. I'm going to bring in Seiya Suzuki, who was on the bench, did not start the day. So, here was the result. Again, Seiya Suzuki facing Brian Hudson. Cubs down 3-1 in the 7th with a man on base.
Pinch hitting for Pete Crow Armstrong. That's is right. Seiya Suzuki. There's a good size gap in left center for Seiya. And the pitch drilled in the air to left field and deep. Back goes Yelich near the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Tie ball game. Pinch hit, 2-run home run, Seiya Suzuki.
How'd you like that? Craig Counsell getting the best of his mentor and coach at Notre Dame, Pat Murphy. Man, I mean, this was, and I know Cubs fans, it's hard to watch these games objectively, but there has been some entertainment. There was so much stuff that went on in this game today. I'm going to talk about what happened in the 7th inning later with Mark Leiter. We referenced it with Miguel Amaya, who is just struggling defensively in so many different ways. That we'll get into in just a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you lose the Monday game, but Steele was awesome. You win on Tuesday, but Ben Brown was awesome. And the Shota game. I don't think there's anything redeeming from that game. No, because that was Shota was bad. Kyle Hendricks was, except for the double play that he induced, no good. And Willie Adames just keeps. Have you eliminated Willie Adames yet, Robbie? I mean, I give you one job over there to eliminate
him. I just have a piece of twine that's connected all the way to Milwaukee that I haven't pulled yet, and that piano will be coming down soon. But
all right, when we come back, we'll take some of your calls if you'd like at 312-644-6767. I also have some text messages that I would like to go through with you. So let us interact on The Score next. Mark Brody with you on the text lines, 312-644-6767, 630. Mark, great segment with Bruce. Enjoyed that immensely. I thought it was pretty hilarious as well and informative. That's the idea. Inform and entertain. I believe at least for one segment tonight we pulled that off. 630, the Brewers consistently beat the Cubs year in and year out. They are and will continue to be a superior team. Cubs fans are totally delusional. Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, Cubs fans are angry. I don't know that there's been disrespect towards Milwaukee, and they have had their way at times with the Cubs, except for one magical little three-year stretch where between 15 and 17, the Cubs were in the NLCS. Excuse me. Each and every year. What else we got here? 630, Hendricks, that'd be Kyle, is a terrible relief option. His history is poor. First or second inning, then he would get in a groove. This is no early innings relief role. All right. I'm not sure how that kind of broke down towards the end there, the sentence. But I don't know what they do with Kyle Hendricks now. Now what do you do? Now what happens? Trouble with start after start. Then now he's had his second bad relief appearance. He, if you don't know, and the Cubs lost today 6-4. Hendricks goes 3 2/3, allowed 3 runs in the game, gave up a home run to Willie freaking Adames. I actually thought, oh, it's going to be a good one for Kyle Hendricks today because he came in with a man, maybe there's a man on first. And he induces a double play right away. 5-4-3. I think it started with Morelzy. Started with Morel. And that's it. One pitch. That's it. Like classic Kyle Hendricks, take care of stuff, pitch to contact. That's cool. But then they kept him in there for 3 2/3. So I guess long relief when, hey, we're giving you the game here at this point. So that was the case. You know what? I am sorry. I am getting my days conflated, man. That always happens when it's when you've got the night game and then the day game right afterwards. Kyle, that was yesterday where he goes the 3 2/3 and allowed 3 runs in the 10-6 loss, which was on Wednesday night. But the point still remains that Kyle Hendricks now, it is like what now? What's next? I mean, if he's had two bad relief appearances, are we heading towards the inevitable? You know, I mean, and there has to be that's the part. You could call it a problem too, that even though I think that because of the Cubs pitching, they can get back into this thing, but there are hard decisions that are going to have to be made. That's one of them. The other two is like what Bruce was talking about when it comes to the rotation, like how serious are they about Jordan Wicks. How good is Jordan Wicks? We know he's going to get another rehab start, but then you have Jameson. Like the following guys, you don't take out of the starting rotation. You do not take Shota Imanaga out of the starting rotation. You do not take Justin Steele out of the starting rotation. Tyone, you don't take him out of the rotation. You don't take Javier Assad out of the starting rotation. And guess what? You do not take Ben Brown out of the starting rotation. Like I agree. Like that was a good question like a week ago. In terms of what do you do with Ben Brown? Is he bullpen or starter? And I was saying bullpen, but come on. When a guy goes 7 no hit and strikes out 10 and gets you the only win, essentially, yeah, that you had in that series, then how could you not go with that guy unless like you've got to protect him? And I don't know what kind of a plan Ben Brown is on right now. One of the more irritating moments of the game today, Bruce and I want to pay this off because Bruce and I mentioned it. Seventh inning, 3-3, Mark Leiter is in the game. Leiter, who has had some bumpy moments recently, retires the first two guys he faces. Blake Perkins then with an infield hit. He steals second, as everybody does on the Cubs. Then he goes to third on a wild pitch, which Miguel Amaya should have had, should have been able to handle that ball, and had had a similar play earlier in the game as well. But so he goes, so you got a guy on third now, and Bryce Terang comes up with an infield RBI hit, and it's 4-3 right there. So it just felt like a really bad moment in the game for the Cubs. And as we were discussing, like, it's the little things that you cannot get away with making those kinds of errors, especially if you are the man behind the plate helping out your pitcher. When we come back here on the show, we are going to talk to John Greenberg of The Athletic. We'll get back to the Bears with John. We'll talk baseball too, but I definitely want to get his take on the Bears being on Hard Knocks and who's going to stand out, which player, which media member as well. We'll have some fun with John Greenberg. Next, I'm Mark Grody on The Score. Mark Grody with you on the text lines, 312-644-6767, 630. Mark, great segment with Bruce. Enjoyed that immensely. I thought it was pretty hilarious as well and informative. That's the idea. Inform and entertain. I believe at least for one segment tonight we pulled that off. 630, the Brewers consistently beat the Cubs year in and year out. They are and will continue to be a superior team. Cubs fans are totally delusional. Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, Cubs fans are angry. I don't know that there's been disrespect towards Milwaukee, and they have had their way at times with the Cubs, except for one magical little three-year stretch where between 15 and 17, the Cubs were in the NLCS, excuse me, each and every year. What else we got here? 630, Hendricks, that'd be Kyle, is a terrible relief option. His history is poor. First or second inning, then he would get in a groove. This is no early innings relief role. All right, I'm not sure how that kind of broke down towards the end there, the sentence. But I don't know what they do with Kyle Hendricks now. Now what do you do? Now what happens? Trouble with start after start. Then now he's had his second bad relief appearance. He, if you don't know, and the Cubs lost today, 6-4. Hendricks goes 3 2/3, allowed 3 runs in the game. Gave up a home run to Willie freaking Adames. I actually thought, oh, it's going to be a good one for Kyle Hendricks today, because he came in with a man, maybe there's a man on first, and he induces a double play right away. 5-4-3, I think it started with Morelzi. Started with Morel, and that's it. One pitch, that's it. Like classic Kyle Hendricks, take care of stuff, pitch to contact, that's cool. But then they kept him in there for 3 2/3. So I guess long relief when, hey, we're giving you the game here at this point. So that was the case. You know what? I am sorry. I am getting my days conflated, man. That always happens when it's when you've got the night game and then the day game right afterwards. Kyle, that was yesterday where he goes the 3 2/3 and allowed 3 runs in the 10-6 loss, which was on Wednesday night. But the point still remains that Kyle Hendricks now, it is like, what now? What's next? I mean, if he's had two bad relief appearances, are we heading towards the inevitable? You know, I mean, and there has to be, that's the part. You could call it a problem, too, that even though I think that because of the Cubs pitching, they can get back into this thing, but there are hard decisions that are going to have to be made. That's one of them. The other, too, is like what Bruce was talking about when it comes to the rotation. Like, how serious are they about Jordan Wicks? How good is Jordan Wicks? We know he's going to get another rehab start, but then you have Jameson, like the following guys you don't take out of the starting rotation. You do not take Shota Imanaga out of the starting rotation. You do not take Justin Steele out of the starting rotation. Tyone, you don't take him out of the rotation. You don't take Javier Assad out of the starting rotation. And guess what? You do not take Ben Brown out of the starting rotation. Like, I agree. Like, that was a good question like a week ago in terms of what do you do with Ben Brown? Is he bullpen or starter? And I was saying bullpen, But come on, when a guy goes 7 no hit and strikes out 10 and gets you the only win, essentially, yeah, that you had in that series, then how could you not go with that guy, unless like you've got to protect him? And I don't know what kind of a plan Ben Brown is on right now. One of the more irritating moments of the game today, Bruce and I want to pay this off because Bruce and I mentioned it. 7th inning, 3-3, Mark Leiter is in the game. Leiter, who has had some bumpy moments recently, retires the first two guys he faces. Blake Perkins then with an infield hit. He steals second, as everybody does on the Cubs. Then he goes to third on a wild pitch, which Miguel Amaya should have had, should have been able to handle that ball, and had a similar play earlier in the game as well. But so he goes, so you got a guy on third now, and Bryce Terang comes up with an infield RBI hit, and it's 4-3 right there. So it just felt like a really bad moment in the game for the Cubs. And as we were discussing, like, it's the little things that you cannot get away with making those kinds of errors, especially if you are the man behind the plate helping out your pitcher. When we come back here on the show, we are going to talk to John Greenberg of The Athletic. We'll get back to the Bears with John. We'll talk baseball too, but I definitely want to get his take on the Bears being on Hard Knocks and who's going to stand out, which player, which media member as well. We'll have some fun with John Greenberg next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.